Supervisor Marcus Holden, $276,270. The current team member, a lot of credits today. Board Race, but that's place number 208. And all three persons of this level are all leaders of our department.
William Hogan, even during the skies afar, in the darkest calm to welcome me silver star. I have the great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in his power and might is showing his truth and love. A world with God, a place in his course to rest, sure in the safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior's love.
Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, it's through your Son Jesus that we're very thankful for him, and through him that we can pray as our intercessor, that we pray that you will guide us in our lives, that we can look forward to a home with you, that you can help us to know the right things to say and do and be, especially when we talk to other people. We pray that we can be a shining light and example of your word through us because of your help. We pray, dear Father, that you can assist those that are ailing, either directly or through the doctors and all the knowledge that you allow people to gain here on earth. We pray that you can help us as we go through life to continue even on a person-by-person basis when we don't have the chance to speak to lots of people at once. We pray in the meantime for this country that you can help the leaders to continue learning and to go back to studying your word to make this earth a better place. And please help it to be a good place for those that are being Christians now and those that are trying to be Christians here and also around the world. And again, it's through your Son Jesus we pray these things. Amen.
For most people, we spend most of our whole life trying not to be lonely. Many of the world value themselves on how many friends they have or who their friends might be. These different relationships we create have similarities to one another, but none are quite like the one that we're supposed to have with our Lord. Friendships we have for a time, some are stronger and longer than others, but in most cases, they cannot stand the test of time. Even those that do, we start to consider them less as friends and more like brothers and sisters on a different relationship. However, even with true blood relatives, the familial bond has its own limits. In some human relationships, it's necessary for the relationship to change, such as in Genesis 2:24, and then later repeated in Ephesians 5:31. It said that a man should leave his father and mother and to cleave unto his wife. So the relationship might become husband and wife rather than children and parents. While our relationship with God is often compared to him being a father with his children, we, his children, should never leave him for any reason, unlike this relationship with the parents. As we're shown in Matthew 22, verses 23 through 32, I'll read that if you'd like to turn there, Matthew 22. Jesus explains that even after marriage and leaving their parents, they eventually will leave each other in death and cleave unto God. So I'll read chapter 22, starting in verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. One of the worst phrases to hear as children from a parent is, you're dead to me. This disregards their entire existence. It creates a division and separates the two. In the world, this can come from the cruelty of the parent. But with God, he only leaves when the child forces him to do so, and when the child is rejecting of him. For he's not the God of the dead, but the living. We compare this relationship we have with God with the relationships that we have with each other in the world, but it has differences that words are unable to describe. With feelings that we're not totally equipped to understand, the love that he has for us is only broken by us, by our own actions and our own rejection. He would never cut off that connection if he didn't have to. Seek and ye shall find, because he never stops looking for the lost. His love is everlasting, it's nonstop, and infinite. These terms we can't fully comprehend on this earth, having no reference, but we will know eventually one way or another. And John 3:16, probably the most famous Bible passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I also want to bring in verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God is not looking to punish the dead, those who have rejected him, not looking to punish them for the sake of punishment, but to bring them back and to understand the connection that they severed, to bring them back to life in the light. He would rather all come and be with him. But as Jesus says in verse 18 and 19 of John 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. The light has been lit in the world and is available to all, but few will come to it. God simply cannot be in the presence of sin, and even could not be with his Son once Jesus took on the sin of the world on the cross. So, as Jesus said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus knew what would happen upon going on the cross. He would experience the separation that we should all dread with our connection with God. In the garden where he prayed, "Let this cup pass from me," I believe the main reason he prayed so earnestly that his sweat was his blood was because he knew and had full grasp of the separation that would have to happen. That separation is the same that we would have to endure had Jesus not died for our sins. Through Christ alone do we have the opportunity to be saved and to not suffer eternal death. It is only up to us to seize that opportunity. If you would like to take that opportunity to be saved tonight, to fight the good fight, to stay the course, we've made ready to help you start that narrow way. Or if you've fallen off that path, please allow the brethren here to help edify you and keep you on the path. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. And while a few may find it, the few will not walk alone, walking with each other through Christ to be with our Lord in heaven. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you our evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power
in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb,
there is power.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with another time to come together to look into or to talk about your word and how we are able to approach it in life with those that we interact with. And we pray that we are able to take these teachings and hopefully directly affect someone's decision to turn to you and to follow your truth and to feel the comfort that we're able to feel. We pray for those of our number who are not able to be here with us tonight, and that you be with them wherever they are, and that they might be able to be with us at the next appointed time. And we thank you for the safety that we feel here in this country, and we pray that as we go into this new year that we're able to have another year of service in your name, and we pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.